text, I want to share a portion of Scripture, Matthew 25, verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And if you continue reading there, you see that what he says to those on the left hand who didn't do that. We want to be the ones who do. In having said that, we want to be ones who will see a need and fill it. We want to be somebody who, like Jesus, won't be worried about the appearance, won't be worried about the lifestyle, won't be worried about anything other than meeting the need. Jesus met needs. And through that, he showed love, which drew people to him. And that's what we want to do. Having said that, this morning, we're going to be introduced to a program that Ontario County is about to launch. It's going to be awesome. And so, Kathleen, would you please come and share? Everybody, just give a warm welcome for Kathleen Wagner.
I'm new. Can you all hear me? Okay. I'm new to technology, so this will be interesting. Troy, if you could put the PowerPoint up, that would be great. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm Kathleen Wagner. I am a member of the much more buttoned up First Presbyterian Church in Victor, I have to tell you. And I have to say what an incredible joy it was to worship with you this morning. It's very freeing versus what I'm used to. I have to say, I can love it. And the fact that I saw some people without shoes on, I'm in. I'm like, oh, that's it. I'm coming here for sure. But anyway, as I said, I'm a member of the First Presbyterian Church in Victor. I am a fellow sister in Christ with you. And that is why I am here today. I come from a place in my heart that I feel so strongly about, and I and a whole bunch of other volunteers, I want to be clear about that, we are all volunteers, are looking to bring a program called Family Promise to Ontario County, and that's what I'm here to talk to you about today. And do I just hit this button?
Okay. The one on the right.
The one on the right. Okay. Wow, you got ahead of me on this one. We must be thinking along the same lines, but obviously we have all been charged with sharing our food with the hungry, providing the wanderer with shelter, and when we see the naked, to clothe them. And I have to say, having worked with a number of different churches across Ontario County, we are really good at feeding the hungry. We are terrific about clothing folks. The shelter piece is the tough nut to crack within a faith congregation, but it is so needed. So I'm here to talk to you about how we, all of you, along with all of the other faith communities in Ontario County, if we work together, how we can crack that nut for a population in Ontario County who needs our help. So this is what most people think of and see when they think of homelessness, right? The person on the street, the person with the bag. And that exists in Ontario County, no question about it. And we do have programs and services that can help them. And they require the dignity and respect and the help of us to do that. However, that is not the population that I'm here to talk to you about today. As we have found, the reason that homelessness is so difficult to deal with is that every different segment of those who are homeless really need different services. So although these folks that look like this, exist in our community. That's not who I'm talking about today. The program that I'm talking about today, this is Family Promise. This is a program about families and specifically about children. That's the program that we are. So we're going to be talking about how we as a faith community can come together to serve the homeless families in Ontario County. So as I said, it is a program for homeless families and their children and their families, and our goal is to help them secure the resources that they need to become sustainably independent in about 60 days. So we are not talking about a hand out, we are talking about a hand up. We will have families after they enter the program in about 60 days, they will be out and sustainably independent, and we'll talk about how we do that. So let me tell you what Family Promise is. It is a national program. It established in 1985. It's 30 years strong with a mission to mobilize communities to help low-income families achieve and sustain their independence. Its focus is on the religious community because we all believe as people of faith that we are called to help those who don't have shelter. There are 200 affiliates across the United States. So this program's going strong, and there are 49 in development, which is great news and horrible news, right? Great news, because people are out there doing something. Bad news is that we need to have this in our communities. In New York, there are 3 existing affiliates. There is an affiliate working in Buffalo, one in Albany, and one in Rochester that has been in existence for 20 years. You might know it by under the name of RAIN. RAIHN, the Rochester Area Interfaith Hospitality Network, which, by the way, was the old name of Family Promise. That's why we're Family Promise of Ontario County. And we are in the process of developing an affiliate, and Wayne County is doing it at the same time. Do you believe in coincidences? Not really. Yeah, God's at work, for sure. And I've had calls from Seneca and Yates County, too, so I'm pretty thrilled about that. So at this point, I want to give you an overview of the program, and then I'll start getting down to some nuts and bolts. So Troy, if you would be kind enough to run that video for me.
Family breakup.
Everything was going okay in my life, it seemed, one day. And all of a sudden, they stopped going okay.
The reason we're in here is because I lost my job.
Eventually, I got evicted.
Before I was homeless, I looked on it as a problem that I would never encounter, something that would never happen to me.
Someone who is in a homeless situation is in a situation. It does not define who they are or what kind of person they are.
I have to tell you, when I arrived, I was new in my congregation. I didn't know who the guests were and who the volunteers from the congregation were.
It breaks your heart to see that a hardworking family could actually end up in a situation like this.
I am always surprised at how loving and open and friendly these people are.
It's a great opportunity for hands-on outreach. You don't have to go on a mission trip to do this.
We get just as much, if not more, out of it than the people that we're trying to help. It's just a wonderful feeling.
The Interfaith Hospitality Network is a partnership among congregations, volunteers, and agencies that gives homeless families the support they need to secure safe, affordable housing and regain their sustainable independence.
I was in the military for 14 years and I'd gotten out. My problem that I had was that the skills I learned in the U.S. Army and the infantry don't translate over to the civilian world. I wasn't able to get a job. After a while, we lost our place. The hardest part about being homeless is not knowing if you're going to be able to take care of your family.
Families are the fastest growing segment of the homeless population. They have nowhere to turn. Shelters across the country are full. And those shelters that can take families in, often they split up moms and dads. Moms and children go to one shelter, and dads and boys over the age of 12 have to go to another. That's even if they can find shelter. And to think we have congregations, churches, synagogues, and mosques across this country that can make a difference. And what a difference they can make when they open their doors. When they open their doors and open their hearts, lives are changed. That's what families talk about most. You know, we call this the Interfaith Hospitality Network program. It's a program, but it's about the volunteers who make a tremendous difference in the lives of families.
For a congregation to be able to share their facilities, not as a shelter, but as a home to someone, that's really, I think, what the important thing is. That's what's meaningful about IHN. That's what's different about IHN. We're providing homes for homeless people, not shelters.
To see these people when they come in and when they leave, to see Anne tonight so excited because she got her apartment. You know, you can almost cry right with them because you're so excited for them.
I am so happy to say that Anne has been approved for her house and she gets the key tomorrow!
In a way, it made me feel sad because this is their last night with us. It's very touching.
I want to say that I feel so relieved and everybody's been so nice and so helpful. I can't put any better words than that. I thank all of them, and they're really helping people. I've never seen anything like that before.
The Interfaith Hospitality Network gives congregations the opportunity to create an innovative local response to family homelessness.
The people coming in and spending their time with us and cooking the meals for us have been a great help.
Often when we talk about a program like this, we think about, I'm an awfully busy person, I've got a lot of things to do. So when I tell people about why they might want to be part of Family Promise, I'll talk about how it's a chance to live out your faith. On Sunday mornings and in other contexts, we talk a lot about serving God. This is a way you can actually do it.
I think that IHN takes a big responsibility in these people's lives. So for me to do my little part that I can make a dinner come, spend some time with people, feed them, is wonderful. So I feel like it's a minimal effort for such an enormous return.
Every congregation only hosts about 4 or 5 times a year. That makes an easy job to volunteer for. Once people do it, they really love it. They want to keep doing it.
What's so wonderful about the program that it involves so many people? I think it's one of the best outreach programs a church or synagogue can have.
You can see how much it means by the outpouring of volunteers, people making food, people coming to have fellowship with the families that are visiting. It's a way that we all kind of band together for a really good purpose.
People are compassionate. They want to make a difference. They don't always know how. And so IHN provides a way for people to address a major social issue and make a huge impact in the lives of families right within the walls of their own house of worship.
They're friendly. They're giving us the support that we need to keep doing what we have to do to stand on our own feet. Guess what?
What?
I'm gonna start working tomorrow.
Woohoo! Now I'm gonna get a new. Now I'm gonna go to my new house.
Yeah, we're gonna go to the new house soon.
I'm proud of you, Daddy.
Oh, thank you.
I love you, Daddy.
I love you too.
Gets me every time. I've seen that on more than a few occasions. Anyway, you got a good sense of the program. It really is a life changer for the families in our community. So I'm going to talk to you after I get this hooked up here about how we can go about doing it, and specifically how your congregation can get involved. I think I'm better off holding this for now. Okay, so how many of you have encountered a homeless family or a homeless person in Ontario County? Somewhere, yeah. Okay, so I'm preaching to the choir here. So nationally, just so you know, almost 41% of the homeless in the United States are families. And a family can be defined in a number of different ways. But it's important to note that of those homeless, 60% are children. And of those children, 50% of them are 5 years or younger. Pretty incredible. So what do we know locally? In 2015, in Ontario County, 60 families walked into the Department of Social Services and declared themselves as homeless. Last year, 60 families. There probably are a lot more who never walked in the door, because they might be afraid their kids are going to be taken away, which, by the way, is not true, but it is a real fear. There's no question about it. In the 2014 and 15 school year, it was reported that 276 children in Ontario County were homeless. So those are children ages 5 to 18. So if we go back to that national statistic that 50% of the children who are homeless are under the age of 5, that number doesn't even touch the number of kids in Ontario County who are homeless. By the way, Geneva Schools reported 72. And if you want to see the data for every school in Ontario County, I'll be happy to send it on to you and share it with you. There are no shelters in Ontario County. Why is that? Boy, that's a really good question. But shelters pose a really interesting problem for families, as we shared up here. If you go in as a family, to a shelter in Rochester, they're going to split you. And you've probably been reading about the national homeless issue and how a lot of shelters are under fire right now for not following through on so many guidelines. So there are a lot of different reasons for that, and they're not necessarily the most cost-effective, which is why this program is so neat. So I'll talk about that. So we have a needs, but we are not talking about a shelter program here. We are talking about a ministry. On the highest level, this is how the program works. Families will spend their days in what we call a day center. That's where they'll go off to work. That's where they'll go off to school. That's where they'll get services. And at night, they're going to be in places of worship, just like here. So on a very high level, that's what the program is. Days are at a day center. Nights are in houses of worship across Ontario County. So this is how families enter the program. They're referred, but well, we have 3 to 4 families at a time, no more than 14 people. So at any one time, your church would not be looking at having any more than 14 people in the program. They can be referred by social service ministries. They can be by community members, or if they walk in through the doors of this church, as I'm sure they have, they can be referred through faith communities as well. To qualify, families will go through a 2.5-hour intake process with a professional social worker, and they're going to be interviewed for things like active alcohol and drug addiction, domestic abuse, untreated mental illness, and a criminal background check. Now, there are some folks who won't make it through the intake process because they may have an existing active drug or alcohol situation. It does not mean we're going to throw them to the wolves. Obviously, we'll have connections with other agencies in Ontario County and get them the services that they need. But safety is paramount, not only for the folks in your congregation, but for the other families who are in the program as well. So this is not meant as a program for everyone, but we'll do our best to get them where they need in the community. Families will also sign a guest guideline agreement, so there are certain things that they need to do as well, and they need to follow through on. So that's how they get into the program. And there's 6 main components. This is the program works through host congregations, providing space and volunteers, volunteers, which is really critical, a day center, which is the hub of our network, transportation, how do we move families from place to place, funding, the piece that no one likes to talk about but is a reality, and then all the other social service agencies. So I'm going to take you through each section of that. So host congregations, that's what I'm talking to you about mostly, is a host congregation, opening your minds to being a host congregation. Host congregations are going to provide a dedicated physical space for up to 3 to 4 families, no more than 14 people, for 7 consecutive nights, 4 weeks a year. So again, we're looking for you to host 14 individuals, 7 consecutive nights, 4 times a year. They don't have to be, those weeks can be any time that you dictate that is best for your church. So if you need to do them all in January, February, March, well, that's what you say you do. So it's not necessarily, they're not consecutive weeks, and they're any time that suits your church schedule. The physical space can include, but is not limited to, classrooms, fellowship halls, gyms, I should put in here, sanctuaries. I'm just throwing this out. We need to be really inventive of how we talk about space. We're not talking about 4 spaces where the families can lock their door. We're looking for safe spaces. One church in Atlanta takes a space like this and sets up 4 tents in the corners of the room, and that's the safe space for 4 families. One family, when they have a family that is only usually a mother and a baby, they literally have a room that's like 5x3 that fits a bed and a crib, and that works. So it's, again, not thinking about space the way you might think for families, but how you can make space work in your congregation. The congregation's also expected to provide dinner, cold breakfast, and what the families will need to make a sack lunch the next day. And if you're like most congregations, we're all really good at food. We're all really, really good at food, right? And then finally, we're asking the host congregation to offer fellowship and spend the night. At no time will the families be in your house of worship unattended. There will always be a minimum of 2 volunteers on site all the time. And we're looking for 13 host congregations, because 13 times 4 is 52 weeks a year, and there we go. So that's host congregations. We also have something we call support congregations. So if we have some congregations out there who, for whatever reason, don't have the physical space, and let's say you have the physical space but might not have all the volunteers, we'll link you together. So we'll link support congregations and host congregations to make it work. So they have the volunteers or the financial ability to help with the program. So joining them together makes one full hosting site. The strength of our program is on volunteers. That's you. It's the people sitting in this room. First of all, it allows paid staff to be kept at a minimum. We're talking about trying to do this cost effectively with the resources that we already have in our community. The other cool and best part is that families are interacting with an incredible number of people of faith all the time. If there are 35 to 50 volunteers a week and a family stays in the program about 60 days, whoo! That's a lot of people of faith that they are seeing in action, and I think that is the power of this program. And obviously, it's a great pool of resources and potential opportunities for families. There is an opportunity for the youngest one in the congregation to the oldest one in the congregation to participate in this program and be a volunteer. There's a spot for everybody. It takes approximately 35 to 50 volunteers, each donating a whopping 2 hours a week to make this program work. And obviously you need a fewer number of volunteers if people are willing to do double shifts. So they do things like set up, breakdown, meals, fellowship, and sleeping here at the congregation. The third component is our day center. This is going to be the hub of the program. This is where the families are during the day, providing them with a daily structure to help them identify the resources they need to become self-sufficient, including a stable address. And I want to talk about that for just a minute. What's one of the first things you have to fill out on a job application after your name? It's your address. If you're homeless, you don't have an address. And guess what? You can't get a job. So the day center provides a stable address for families, allowing them to get the services they need and to be able to go out and look for a job. It cannot be underestimated how important that fact is. This is where school-aged children will be transported back to their schools. And by the way, federal law says, let's say we have a homeless student who is in the Victor School District, and our day center is in Canandaigua. By law, Victor schools have to pick that child up in Canandaigua and take them home, and that's true of every school district. So school stability will remain in place for school-aged children regardless of where we locate the day center. The center is going to have a paid director, case manager, to work with families. This is a professional because they need professional services. That will be happening from day one out of the gate. We will have a professional in place to do that. And our facilities at the day center are going to include bathrooms with showers, so the host congregations do not need to have showers, washers and dryers, computers for job searches, phones for scheduling appointments. So everything that they need at the core is going to be at the day center. Transportation is a component. If anybody has a connection into where we can locate a 14-passenger van for free, let me know. But that's what we're looking for. If we need a 14 or a 15, if you include the driver, we need a van because we are going to be responsible for transportation, getting folks from the day center to the host congregation and back again in the morning. We are going to be a separate 501c3 nonprofit. The beauty of that is we will have a local board of directors who can respond to local needs. So our affiliation with the national, essentially, it's a one-way street. We get all our technical and professional resources, and we don't give them a whole lot back. So that's kind of nice. And we'll be raising funds in a number of different ways, grants, corporations, donations, individuals. And our typical first-year budget is going to be between $100,000 and I'm going to say $140,000, our first-year budget. So no small potatoes, but here's what you need to know as a congregation. There is no requirement that your congregation provide any funds with this program. We're going to ask you, but there's nothing that says you need to financially contribute. But here's an even better part. What if I told you today that for volunteering 4 weeks a year, you're giving $30,000 worth of value to help the homeless in our community? That's what the in-kind benefit of being a host congregation is. For you to be a host congregation 4 weeks a year, the financial benefit to our program is $30,000. That's why we're going to be so cost-effective doing what we're going to do. The other imperative that we have here is not to duplicate services. Again, we want to be cost-effective. We want to make the most use of the services we have. And I don't know how many connections you have into Ontario County Services, but the bottom line is we have an awesome group of people with amazing agencies, different programs, doing great things out in Ontario County. We don't want to duplicate any of that. CareNet. If we have a family coming in who needs parenting classes, CareNet does a bang-up job of parenting classes. We're not going to create parenting classes. We're going to send them to CareNet. And so on. So it's never recreating the wheel. It's using the services in Ontario County. I do want to tell you that the commissioner of the Department of Social Services for Ontario County is on our host congregation recruiting team. She believes it's a pretty darn good program. So here's what a typical week looks like, starting on Sunday. So let's just say you raise your hand and say we want to be a host congregation. What's going to happen? Starting on Sunday, between 1 and 3, a vehicle is going to arrive, and we're going to deliver beds. So you're not responsible for beds. We're going to deliver 16 beds, 14 for the families, 2 for the volunteers who are sleeping overnight. Between 3 and 5, 2 volunteers are going to be here to set up the beds and get and take care of the belongings, the family belongings, which, by the way, will be numbered for you. These 3 beds are family number 1, and here are the belongings for family number 1. About 5:30, the families are going to arrive. We're going to have 2 more volunteers come here with a meal. Cook it here, bring it in. I don't know. It doesn't matter how you order pizza, whatever you want to do, however you want to provide it. You're going to provide a meal, and you're going to dine with the families, and you're always going to start with a prayer. And you're going to sit down in fellowship with these families. I do want to tell you, though, at all times, families are always responsible for their children. So if you're doing it buffet style, it's going to be the parents' responsibility to get their children food and sit down with them and help them. What their other thing is they're going to do is families are responsible for all the cleanup. And then families in that time are also going to be making a sack lunch for their families for the next day with the supplies that your church has provided. Those volunteers are going to leave, and you're going to have a couple more volunteers coming in at 7 o'clock. Their job is to sit in fellowship. So what are you going to do? Help with homework, read books, watch a movie, talk about the weather, talk about sports, don't talk about politics. But you're going to do whatever the families need and sit down in fellowship with the families. At 9 o'clock, those volunteers are going to leave, and two more volunteers are going to come in, and the families are going to prepare for bed. The folks that you have coming in at 9 are going to be staying overnight. Their only responsibility is to be here in case there is an issue. Fire alarms go off, questions about how to turn the lights off, but that's their job. So those of you who feel like you can't give a lot because you're working and you're tired, you can just slide right on here and go to sleep and wake up in the morning, and boy, you volunteered and have made a huge difference in the life of a homeless family. At 6 a.m., everyone gets up. They have a cold breakfast. Families, again, are taking care of their children during this time. The van is going to arrive at 7 a.m., take the families all back to the day center, and so on. And so we go on for the rest of the week for 7 consecutive days. On Sunday morning, the van is going to come at 7 a.m. and pick up the beds, pick up all the belongings, put the church back where it needs to be, so by the time you have your Sunday service, your church is completely back and ready for order for your children's services. If you used classrooms, those will be back in order, but the families will still be here with a choice to worship with you that morning. And by that time, they're going to know so many of you, how are they going to say no? Right? So that's what a typical week looks like. So anyway, looking at the national statistics and why this program makes sense, I mean, I think it's a pretty easy program to swallow, but the important thing is does it work? Well, last year nationally, 53,000 individuals were served through a Family Promise affiliate. 58% of them were children. Okay? The average length of stay nationally is 64 days. Think about that. The day the family walks in homeless, sometimes broken and hopeless, 64 days later, they are in their own place, they are independent, and it's sustainable independence. So that terrific financial program, you can bet they're going through something like that in the time that they're in our program, right? To make sure that it is a sustainable independence. RAIN, which is that Rochester Area Interfaith Network, boy, they're pretty good at what they do. They've been at it 12 years. They're much more efficient. Their length of stay is 45 days with a 90% success rate. That means 90% of the families who come into the program a year later are still in their own home, making a living, doing what they need to do for their family. The number's a little lower nationally, but I want to qualify it. In that number are families who have left during the program to decide that they need to move out of state or need to move into move in with family members or make another choice. It is still an incredibly successful program using folks like you who are willing to open up your house of worship to those in our community who need it. Is it a bit of an inconvenience? Sure it's going to be. For the 4 weeks that you have folks here, because we are going to ask that whatever space you put aside for the families is dedicated to those families for 7 days. I would imagine you'd be the same way, even little kids. You don't want anybody walking into your bedroom, do you? So we do ask that you dedicate the space during those 7 days. So there might need to be some shifting of what you do in your church during those 7 days. But kind of a minor inconvenience, wouldn't you say, versus a family who doesn't have any place to go. As a quick summary, this is helping families achieve independence, which I think is what we're all looking for. It's a hand up. It's not a handout. We're providing congregations with local mission activities, and we all know small churches across Ontario County we want to do. I come from a very small congregation myself. There's a lot more we want to do than we're able to do, and it's not just a financial piece. It's a volume piece, right? I'm giving you 4 weeks moving in with like 40 other congregations and what we can do for the families if we're working together. It's the power of numbers, of us coming together to do something for families. We will create initiatives that talk about community need. What they're seeing nationally is this turns into a bigger story. Affordable housing is the number one cause of homelessness in the nation. It's true here in Ontario County as well. Imagine the voice if every faith community in Ontario County starts speaking in one voice about how we need more affordable housing. Imagine what we're going to be able to do when that message starts getting out in a larger voice and we can start influencing what's going on in our community and also getting to the folks who might be able to financially help who are not because they may not understand the issue. We're giving people all meaningful volunteer activities. You can go and have dinner with a homeless family, share your favorite dinner with them. And again, we're building public awareness about homelessness and the needs of low-income people, which we know that needs to be done. So you will become part of that voice along with other folks in the faith community. So there we have it. So what am I asking? I have to have the ask, right? This is the ask I'm looking for. Do I have that, Susan? Maybe I didn't bring it with me. Excuse me. This is my ask. My ask to you is to prayerfully consider signing on to be a host congregation for this program. Remember, we need 13 congregations. We have 4 signed on so far. It's amazing. We have Mount Olive Baptist Church in Geneva. How many of you know that church? It ain't big, but it is powerful. Mount Olive Baptist Church, the First Presbyterian Church of Victor, because seriously, I mean, how could they not, right? And I don't say they weren't strong-armed. They were good. The Victor United Methodist Church and Willowbrook Christian Church in Victor. Those are 4 that have signed this letter. And what this is an agreement for your church to be a host congregation. We need 13 churches before we can open our doors, but we need 7 churches, hopefully by the end of the year, before we can even start going out and fundraise, before we can even open our doors. So what's our timeline? They tell us the national timeline is anywhere between 15 and 18 months to open up an affiliate. Our clock started on June 1st. I would hope we would be opening our doors sometime in 2017, but we've got a heck of a lot of work ahead of us, but we've got some amazing people of faith who are driving this program. I have 28 dedicated people across Ontario County who are looking to do this. And by the way, our meeting is on Monday as well, coming together to talk about our next steps. But we do need 7 to 8 congregations by the end of the year before we can determine when we're going to open our doors. So time is of the essence for us to get host churches signed on. But the actual date that you would see folks come in, yet to be determined, but certainly no earlier than June of next year. Unless we can get it done sooner, which I would love. So I'm asking you to prayerfully consider being a host congregation, taking this through whatever steps that need to go through in your church to make an informed decision. This is a lay program, though. It absolutely needs everybody around the room, the whole congregation shaking their heads, saying, absolutely, we believe in this, and this is something that we can do, because you're going to be the ones driving it once we get it in here. So this is just a one-page document asking you to sign and just saying what you're going to do. You know, the lunches, the fellowships, the volunteers, the 7 consecutive days for 4 weeks. It's not complicated. So I'm going to leave this with Pastor Dale. And I am available anytime for questions. Pastor Dale has my contact information. I'm happy to talk to any of you individually if you have questions. I'm certainly open to questions now if you have any. Yes?
For the volunteers, is there any training that they have to go through or background check?
Okay, the question was, for volunteers, is there any training for the volunteers, and is there a background check for them? Yes, there's a lot of training. And in fact, on that one-page document, it says that all of your volunteers commit to going through training, which of course we'll make available to you when it's convenient for you. But yeah, there is very specific training for that. But no, there's no background check, no criminal background check. Yes, so it really is up to the church to make sure the folks who are volunteering are fit, well-suited for that role, yes. But it's also why we ensure that there are always two volunteers on site at all times. It's for everyone's protection to do that.
Talking about protection, liability, say somebody from Family A does something to somebody at Family B,
mm-hmm.
who's liable? You know,
okay.
Obviously with church insurances, you know, we would probably have to even address our insurance company before we could even do something like that, because they would want to know what's going on in the building, and should something happen, is the church going to be held liable?
Okay, that's a really good question, and it is an insurance question that comes up all the time. First of all, I want to be sure that we always are calling this a hospitality program or an outreach program and not a shelter. That's really important from a financial and a legal standpoint. So based on the experience of Family Promise nationally and 200 affiliates, this is no different than any other mission and outreach that you would do in your church. So have you ever had a lock-in here before, like with kids or what? Yeah, something like that. This is no different than that from an insurance standpoint. And we will say that all of the major carriers that cover churches, all of them have Family Promise affiliates, so they're aware of that. It's certainly something we encourage churches to check with your insurance, but what coverage you have today should cover you. You'll want to double check, but that should be no issue at all. Because we are a 501c3 as well, with a board of directors, we will be carrying our own insurance, and our board will be insured as well. So if there are any legal issues, it's going to work with either your insurance company or our. And they said in the history of Family Promise for 30 years, there has never been a lawsuit filed. Knock on wood. Somewhere, yeah, uh-huh. But there has never been a lawsuit filed. Any other questions? No. Well, thank you for your time. I'm happy, again, to take your calls, your email, anytime. Also, if you're involved in any community groups or anything like that, and you think that this message would be well served for them to hear, I'm happy to do that at any time as well. And the best way for us to be able to accomplish our goal is if we have all of you out there talking about it with all your friends. So if you talk to somebody and you tell them you just heard this great presentation about Family Promise and you're completely on board and you think it's a good idea and they're saying, hey, maybe my church could do that, please call me. Let me get in touch with that person and let me get in front of that church so we can come together to make this happen. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Amen. You know, as we're watching the presentation, my wife leaned over to me and said, you know, when we saw that statistic about the kids, can you imagine during your formative years, that was the words my wife said, you know, during their formative years, these kids have no home. What that does to a person. I can tell you what it does to a person. Mike and I went out to the jail the other night to minister to people at the county jail. A good portion of young people who go through trauma in their formative years live trauma for the rest of their lives. And so something like this I see is just an avenue of hope for them, you know, some stability and an opportunity to, during those formative years, come across people who will demonstrate love to them and help them with their needs. You know, every little kid needs to have that love demonstrated to them. They need to know that they live in a world where somebody will love them. Amen. Timing is incredible. God is, you know, awesome. You know, this was introduced to me, and just the way dates and times and schedules worked out, we were able to have this presentation the day before our annual business meeting. So, yes, we're going to be talking about this tomorrow. Am I saying, yes, we're going to do this? I'm not saying that. The church has to say that. I'm going to be involved, whether you are or not. If you're not going to, if the church decides, no, we're not doing this, I can call up Brother Golden from Mount Olive and say, hey, you know what? I will volunteer to come over and take part in that program in your church. If I got to show up and help feed somebody, if I got to do whatever, I will be a part of this. But anyway, it's interesting also that I find, you know, over the last couple of years, we've been talking about loving, we've been talking about serving, we've been talking about being the people that God has called us to be, and now God has sent somebody to sell his word to us. And, you know, one of the problems that we have as believers a lot of times is the how-to. You know, we read, you know, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, you know, shelter the homeless, you know, those who don't have a place, take them in and visit. But the how-to, how do we do this? Because we've all got such busy lives. We all have this stuff going on. And you know what? I got to get the kids to the school, and I got to get them to the practice, and I got to show up to the game, and I got this meeting over here, and I got to go to the financial fitness meeting, and I got to sell barbecue tickets, and I got all this stuff to do. Oh, the banquets that night, you know? And how do we put feet to our faith because we're so busy? Well, you know what? Here's an opportunity to do it. 2 hours a week. 4 times a year, it's doable. That's what I really like about the program. It's doable. It's doable, and it's a true application of God's word through God's people in a way I believe that glorifies God. I want to be a part of that. That's awesome. Amen. I hope to see you here tomorrow night. There's other things, obviously, that we're going to talk about as well, but that is certainly something that will be on the table. Today being September 11th, the Assemblies of God has asked all the churches to spend at least 11 minutes in prayer today for our nation. Our nation is at a crossroads. You know, she said not to talk politics. You know what? Let me... We can talk Jesus, though, can't we? Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing that I've decided. Yeah, it's such a better subject. I've decided, because I'm opinionated, I know who I want to vote for and why, and who I don't want to vote for and why, but I have decided on Facebook, even in conversation or whatever, if you want my opinion, I might give it to you, but you know what? I'm going to do what Paul did. Now, let me encourage you all to do this. I have determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I want God to pick the next leader for this nation. And so I'm going to be about Jesus. I'm not going to be about any of the candidates. I'm going to be about Jesus. Why? Because that's who God's called me to be. He didn't call me to lead this country. He called me to lead his people to him. And so whoever God picks, and I encourage you, go vote. Okay? God's people need to vote. Be informed. Don't just be willy-nilly, oh, my neighbor said this about that one, so I'm going to vote for that. No, get informed. Know who you're voting for and why. But when you get in conversation, I'd much rather lift up Jesus Christ than any politician anywhere. Amen. Why did I say all that? I don't know. Oh, our nation is at a crossroad, and the Assemblies have asked all the churches to spend at least 11 minutes in prayer. We're a little over time. And so what I'm going to ask you to do today, because you know what? If you won't take the time out of your day on a personal level, doing it here in the church is just a show. And so I'm going to ask you to take 11 minutes out of today in your schedule, somewhere in today, take 11 minutes and pray for this nation. I don't have to know when that time is. You don't have to call me and say, hey, Pastor, I'm starting now, and 11 minutes later, okay, I'm done. No, that's okay. But I want you to do that. And if that's not you, if you don't have that quiet place, you don't have that prayer closet, you've never made a habit of that, let today be the day to start doing that. That is very important. You know, I put a post on the other day. Somebody put something on, and it said, you know, to become a worship leader, the worship leader doesn't start being a worship leader when a microphone is put in front of him. To become a worship leader, you start in that prayer closet where God is the only one you have to impress. That's when it starts. And so if you want to do anything awesome for God, let me encourage you to get in that prayer closet and spend 11 minutes praying for this nation today. Today. Don't let the day go by. If you lay down and you realize, oh my gosh, I didn't do what Pastor asked me. I didn't spend 11. Get out of your bed and get on your knees and pray for 11 minutes. I'm just throwing that out there, asking you to do that. Amen. Please stand with me. Are we in an awesome service today? I've enjoyed it, every second of it. Remember, if you want Praying to Secure Center banquet tickets, see Kylie. If you'd like to help us sell barbecue tickets, or would like to buy some, please see my sister, Judy. But talk to God for at least 11 minutes today. Father, I thank you for your time here with us, that you have given this opportunity to gather together with all of these wonderful people, to worship you, to sense your presence, to have our lives changed, to hear your word, all the things you've done here today, God, we give you thanks. I pray a blessing over this congregation. Holy Spirit, remind us today not to lay down before we have prayed for our nation. But God, bless each one that from this day forward, Lord, we'll be different than who we were when the day started because of our love for you having grown. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thanks for coming. Greet one another before you.